It's a little bit hard for me to believe. My wife and I were talking about the other day that we've actually been here for a year and a half now. And that's kind of hard for me to grasp because in some ways I feel like I just got here, but it's actually been in a year and a half now. And I got to tell you that moving here and joining you to be able to worship and grow in Christ together with you as a church family has been one of the greatest things that has ever happened to me in my life. And I mean that. We love it here. We have loved this church. We love this community. So we love it. So thanks so much for your generosity. And you're dismissed. No. Isaiah chapter 43. You don't get to leave yet. Give me a little time and let me jump through a quick word with you. Isaiah chapter 43. It's a great word. It's a familiar one to start a year, but I think we might see some things in it that could be new to us today or maybe some refreshers from a while ago. Chapter 43, verses 16 through 21. It begins with this. It says, "This is what the Lord says." Who says it? The Lord says it. Now, it's the prophet Isaiah speaking, but he's bringing a message from God. This is what the Lord says. "He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together." Of course, he's talking about the Exodus. "And they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise." Come on, God made you to praise him. Amen. God made you to praise him. That's why when we have times of praise and worship like what we just had, even though praise isn't about you, the reason you feel so good when you do it and when you're done is because you did what God made you to do. And when you do what you're made for, it's so fulfilling in our lives as well. You say, why do I feel so good after praise if it's about Jesus and not me? Because you walked in what God made you for. You did that, and always it'll have that result in our lives. Hey, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word. I pray that you would encourage us, equip us, challenge us, change us. May we grow through it. Light our paths, I pray, as we consider this word spoken so many years ago in a specific situation to your children, but truths within this passage that we know are just as real in our lives today as they were when spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Help us to apply them in our lives in the strong name of Jesus. Church, would you pray with me? Lord, I'm grateful for all you've done, but I ask you, do new things in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I had a birthday. I've been around for a little while. When I do the math, I've probably lived at least a quarter of my life at this point. So I wasn't always greatest in math, maybe. But anyway, so I've been around. There was an advertising campaign that was around when I was younger. Some of you will remember it. If you won't, though, I think you'll get the gist of it very quickly with an explanation. But it would be people in a crowded room, and there were different commercials and different settings, but it would always be people in a crowded room and gathered together in a crowded room. They would be talking about things, and they would be having a conversation about investments and stocks and things like that. And one of them would talk about how their broker had told them to do such and such. And another one would say, well, you know, my broker told me to do this. And in the crowded room with lots of noise, it could be a restaurant, it could be a meeting, one of the people would say, well, my broker is E.F. Hutton. And when they would say that, the whole room would fall deathly silent. The whole room would fall silent. And everybody would like lean in. And there'd be absolute silence. And then a narrator would come in and say, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. That was their advertising campaign. Now, I don't know how much people listen to E.F. Hutton or not. But what I do want to tell you is when we read these verses from Isaiah, Isaiah started it with, this is what the Lord says. Come on. This is what the Lord says. So if anybody was going to drop what they were doing and be silent and say, man, I need to catch that word because that's a word from God, that's us. Amen? This is what the Lord says. And come on, when God talks, we want to make sure we listen. Isaiah comes and he brings this word to the children of Israel that I want you to consider here with me today. And he breaks it down and of course, we always try to break down the passages we look at and grasp them a little bit. But I want to pull a few things out of it with you today. The first thing Isaiah kind of points out to God's children when he brings this word is it's a word to remember what God has done. He reminds them of something that God has done. Israel had experienced some amazing things as a nation up until this point. And by the time we get to Isaiah's day, I mean, from one man named Abram, his name had been changed to Abraham. One man, one woman, his wife Sarah, they had one child together. From that one child had come two children. From one of them had come another baker's dozen of children. Those children had headed down to Egypt in a time that was pretty good for a season, even though it had been a famine, because they had a brother who was the prime minister of Egypt. And come on, if your brother was the prime minister, things couldn't be but so bad for you. You'd kind of rack up off of that deal, I think. So they moved down there, and their brother is, you know, the top right-hand guy there in Egypt, and things were good. But things changed along the way in Egypt. We know the story, many of us. Things changed, and new pharaohs would come, and they would forget all about Joseph and all that. And it ended up happening that they enslaved the Hebrew people there in Egypt. They lived in Egypt for over 400 years. That's a long time, 400 years. We haven't even been a country that long. 400 years they lived there in Egypt, but they multiplied even under the conditions of slavery and abuse and the difficulties. They kept having children. They kept growing. And by the time you got to the end of the 400 years, when you come to the Exodus, there's over 600,000 of them. 600,000. And God's promise to Abraham of, I'm going to make a great nation out of you, it was coming to pass. They were growing. One man has now turned into over 600,000 people. And this was tremendous what had happened. And then, of course, we know God called Moses to go down there. And Isaiah talked about this. I'm telling you this story because it's what Isaiah opened with in his passage. We know that God called Moses to go down there and finally lead those people out of slavery. God heard their cries, and oh, how they came out with miraculous signs and wonders, and the plagues that came, the water to blood, and the frogs and the flies and the gnats and the locusts and the death of the firstborn. And there were so many different things, the darkness, and all these plagues took place to show the mighty hand of God. Finally, they came out of Egypt, and of course, when they came out, they experienced what was probably the most incredible sign and incredible show of wonder of all of them, the parting of the sea. And we know the account as the children of Israel came, and they got to the Red Sea, the banks of it, and this is a day where getting across would be very difficult. It'd be one thing to try to get a few healthy people across. It'd be another thing to try to get a whole nation of 600,000 across, with children and senior citizens and all different physical conditions and all your possessions. And they were trapped. And they were trapped there. How would they get across? But then, of course, Pharaoh's army, he had changed his mind, and they had pursued them. And he came out, and here they were trapped between the water and Pharaoh's army, and this incredible miracle took place where God parted the sea. I believe God's word is true. I believe God's word is true from cover to cover. I believe it. If the Bible says that Jesus walked on water, you know what I believe Jesus did? I don't believe it was just figurative talk that's just put in a book that some poetic person wrote down. If the Bible says Jesus walked on water, then Jesus walked on water. If the Bible says Peter got out the boat and walked on water also and then got scared and sank and Jesus saved him, then that's exactly what happened. It's in the Bible. We believe it to be true. If the Bible says that the prophet made an axe head float, then guess what? An axe head floated. If it says it happened, then it happened. If the Bible says that Lazarus came walking out of a grave after he had been dead for 4 days wrapped in grave clothes, then Lazarus came walking out of a grave after 4 days dead in his grave clothes. He wasn't in a coma. He wasn't unconscious. It's not some made-up story. It's God's word. It's true. Come on, give me an amen. Amen. The Bible says God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. We believe the Bible to be true. So if the Bible says that a strong wind blew all night and parted the sea, and that it blew all night and dried the ground so that Israel could cross on dry ground, and that the water was as a wall on either side of them when they crossed, if the Bible says that that's what happened, then I believe that that's what happened. Are you with me? You say, "Well, Pastor, that don't even make any sense. How could something like that happen?" It can't happen unless God does it. That's the only way. The only way for something so miraculous to take place. And we believe God's word to be true. God's word to be true. They crossed. And of course, in that whole account, Moses was fretting. The people were upset with Moses. They're like, man, weren't there graves in Egypt for us to be buried in? Why'd you bring us out here to die? And Moses goes to God in prayer. And Lord, what are we going to do? Why'd you bring these people out here? And then God gives a word to Moses where he tells him, stand still. He said, stand still. You know what Moses was probably doing? What do we do when we get stressed out? He probably paced him back and forth. God, we got to do something about this. I mean, this is crazy. These people all complaining. We got Pharaoh's army over here. He's stressed out. He's stressed out. What are you doing? You're wringing your hands, right? You can't stop talking. You're pacing. You're stressed out. And God is like, stand still. Sometimes the word from God to you in your life is stand still. You tell your neighbor you need to relax. Yeah, you slow down. Let God handle it. That's His word. His word is stand. Some of you telling three or four people. You're like this whole family needs to calm down. So he says to him, stand still to see the salvation of the Lord. And he did. We know that they went through and Pharaoh's army pursued and the waters were closed over. Isaiah recounts the whole thing in the verses where I just read in Isaiah 43. How could you ever forget something like that? You couldn't. There's no way. There's no way that can happen and you forget it. You tell your kids about that. They tell their kids about that. They tell their kids about that. And everybody keeps telling their kids. And here we are, multiple century after century after century later, the adopted children of Abraham, adopted by the blood of Jesus Christ, grafted into the family as the church of God, and we're still talking about it. We're still talking about it. It's in the Bible. We're still talking about this incredible miracle that God did to this day. It will never be forgotten. We make movies about it. We still watch Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments. We still watch the Prince of Egypt, the animated one, and we sing songs about it. Should I sing a song about it? There can be miracles. Oh man, where's my Whitney Houston voice? Come on. And we sing songs about it, and we paint paintings about it, and we put it in kids' storybooks, and it's a big story. Come on. It's a huge one. It continues to all generations, and we don't forget it altogether. We remember what God has done. We don't just remember that one. We remember different miracles that God has done. We remember what God has done in our lives also. Out in our lobby, we've transitioned, and Christmas is packed up. Don't pack Jesus up with the Christmas decorations. Keep him out all year. But we've packed up Christmas, and our prayer stations are set up out in the lobby as we're headed into our 21 days of prayer. There's that window hanging with the scarlet cords hanging down there. It's symbolic of Rahab's window. Rahab was told to hang a scarlet cord out of her window, and when Israel came to Jericho, that if they saw that, her whole family would be saved. How many of you believe in for salvation of your whole family? Amen? For your whole family. Write your loved ones' names down on a card and clip them to those red cords out there so that other people can come by and pray for your family members and your loved ones as well. There's a healing board out there and different requests, but there's also one that is just a praise wall where you could just write testimonies on it of what God has done. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to write testimonies on there of things that God has done. And I wrote the first one out there when we hung it. We had the birth of our little granddaughter, Rochelle, this past year, and I snuck that on the wall to give God thanks for that and put on there something that God has done in your life. We're all able to recall accounts of things God has done in our lives. And Scripture calls us to remember those things. It calls us to. It tells us, forget not all His benefits is the call to God's children. When they entered the promised land, they were told that. Don't forget the goodness of God. But Isaiah takes this strange twist. He tells them this story of this great thing that God has done. And then he does this weird twist in the story that almost doesn't seem like it fits to an extent. After recalling these incredible miracles and reminding them that what God has done in verse 18, he says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Now, I know that Isaiah, let me get this microphone right here from you, Jose. I know that Isaiah was not from New York, but if he had been from Brooklyn, and he had written the Bible from Brooklyn. You know I'm coming to you, Pastor John. You know I'm coming to you. I'm going to put you guys on the spot. Can you see that? Are your glasses good? I think you know what that word says. I don't know if everybody in here can read what I wrote on the wall there. And I did not talk to you ahead of time.
That's correct.
I did not. I'm putting him on the spot. Do you know what that says right there?
Sure, forget about it. Forget about it. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Isaiah, he says, my older son Nathaniel, he married an Italian girl from New York. Forget about it. Forget that. That accent is there. It's strong. Tell your neighbor to forget about it. Isaiah recalls this incredible account of what God has done. And then after he does, he says, forget about it. Don't remember that. Don't dwell on that one. Don't dwell on the past. It's a new year, family. Amen. It's 2020. What happened last year? What happened 10 years ago? What happened 25 years ago? That's all great, but that's all behind us. We can't go back there. We can't live there. We're here today, and God is with us. So Isaiah is speaking of forgetting things, and more than one, because he has not recalled difficulties just now, although I still want to sneak that in here. But Isaiah talked about good stuff and said, forget about it. He didn't talk about bad things and say forget about it, although that has its application and we want to work that in. But he spoke about good things and said to forget about those things, because you can't dwell in the past, because God always has more for you. Always has more for you. You say, well, Pastor, that might be true for some of the folks who are here, but I've already lived most of my life. Listen, Caleb was 80 years old, and he still believed God for more and for new things in his life at the age of 80. Moses is 80 years old when God calls him to go down to Egypt to lead the children of Israel out and to bring them out in that whole account that we just saw. It doesn't make any difference. Jeremiah is probably only a teenager when God calls him to go and to proclaim a message. How old you are, how long you've lived, that isn't even really relevant. Younger, old isn't the issue. God always has something new. God always has something new. God always has something ahead of you. Let new visions fill your heart. We can't just coast off of yesterday's victories. And we never want it to happen in life that our walk with God is all about what God did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, but we're not believing God for anything next year. Come on. That's what Isaiah is saying. He said, hey, what happened in the past? That was great, but you can't go back there. That's behind you. It's time to move on to what is ahead of you at this point. That's the call. But the memories of the Red Sea crossing weren't only good memories, as I've mentioned. There were some bad ones attached to it. I mean, the memories of Egypt were slavery and bondage and abuse and they're being pursued and all the years of just eating manna and limited provisions. They lived in tents. There were some tough days that were a part of their experience as well. And that's been the same for your journey and my journey also. So the call is not only forget the good days, but it's also a call to forget the difficult days. Now, I want you to catch this. This is big. The difficulties of yesterday are in no way an indication of tomorrow's direction for your life. I said the difficulties of yesterday are in no way an indication of tomorrow's direction for your life. You haven't lived tomorrow yet. Yesterday's failures, yesterday's struggles, yesterday's challenges, they are not in any way an indicator of what your future holds. Those days are behind you. You can't go back to those. You now have to go to what is in front of you. You can never say something like, well, you know, in my life, I know good things happen with other people, but things don't really work out too good in my life. You can't say that because you've never been where you are right now before. You have no way of knowing how this would go. You've never lived in 2020 until now. You've never been this age with the knowledge that you have right now, with the relationships that you have in this situation. You've never been this way before. You've never been here. And what happened last year or 5 or 10 or whenever before, that has no bearing on this. You haven't been here yet. Now, I'm a sports fan. So this afternoon, I will watch my Seahawks defeat Brother Coley's Eagles in the playoffs. Hopefully. If not, we'll still be friends. But anyway, but I'll watch it. But once in a while, when you're watching a sporting event, it doesn't have to be American football. It can be soccer. It can be baseball. It can be basketball. It can be any sport. And sometimes the announcers will talk about what happened when these teams played before. They'll say, oh, when these teams played in these other years, here's what happened. I'm like, these aren't even the same players. Like, what in the world does that have to do with anything? They're not even the same people. It's not even the same time. It's a whole different situation. It's different. Everything is different. That doesn't have anything to do with what's going to happen in this game. Those teams are gone. They're different. That's the same in your life, though. What was there before, you can't go back there. It's a new day. You're going forward in this situation. So our response to the bad and the hurts of the past, it's the same as our response to the good. Forget about it. Forget about it is his word. You can't dwell there. You remember Paul's word to the church when he said, you know, I don't have everything down. I haven't attained everything in my walk with God. But there's one thing I do. He said, I forget those things that lie behind and I press on toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. One thing I do is I leave the past behind me. And I keep going forward is what I do. I want to encourage you to do that as well. We're grateful for the good. We learn from the bad. But we keep moving forward. Look at this verse again as a reminder to us. It's verse 19. 43:19. God says this. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Our God does new things. Now, it's really important that we understand the context of when Isaiah brings these words. So catch this really quick in this point of when he delivers this word to the children of Israel. Israel had returned to captivity, but not in Egypt. He wrote to them about when they had been captives in Egypt and how God had brought them out. But now they are captives in Babylon. And it would be easy because they're captives in Babylon. And what's happening is they're about to come out. So it'd be easy for them to look back at how God brought them out of Egypt and live in the past. And that's why Isaiah comes saying, no, God isn't going to do things the same way he did it back then. God's going to do something new in your life now. He'll do it in a fresh way, in the way that he wants to do it right now. So that's their situation. What had happened is Babylon, which is where modern day Iraq is today, had taken over Israel. And when they had, by the tens of thousands, they had walked the Hebrew people. It's 550 miles from like Jerusalem to Baghdad if you could go in a straight line. But you can't go in a straight line because it's desert and forests and mountains and the whole bit to get there. But they had to walk the 550 plus miles, probably walk 700-800 miles, to get there, to get to Babylon. After being there, being in captivity for a season, the time had come now for them to return. They've been there as slaves. But now a day has come where they're being sent back to the land that they came from. And they remember the journey. They remember we had to cross a desert. They remember we had to go through a wilderness and a forest. They remember we had to get across wastelands. We had to go through areas where there was no water. It was a difficult journey that they would remember. And it's to these people in Babylon that Isaiah is bringing the word that we have read today. Again, they're not going to Babylon. They're going home. But even what they're going home to is different. Because now their cities are in ruin, their homes have fallen apart, the businesses are just empty buildings, their fields where they farmed are all overgrown. So they know we have this crazy journey ahead of us, and then we're going home to an absolute mess. And of course, that whole thought could be frightening altogether of how are we even going to survive this. So God brings them a right word in season, as he is so faithful to do. Many of them would have been fearful and discouraged about the journey and the prospects of it. So Isaiah comes and says, hey, listen, the good, the bad of the past, forget about it. God does new things. And they could have said this to Isaiah. They could say, Isaiah, we know what this journey is like. We're going to have to get through forests. Now, we don't generally have to get through forests today. But what if? What if you had to cross like a couple hundred miles through a forest even today? How many of us think we'd make it? We'd be out there wandering around in the woods for months and wouldn't have a clue which way we were going. We'd be trying to remember, is that the same stars I saw yesterday? Which way was I walking in? How do I even get through here altogether? They say, but Isaiah, we have to go through a wilderness. And Isaiah says, your God is a God who makes a way in the wilderness. That's what he says. It was a literal wilderness for them. He's not speaking poetically. He said, God makes a way. They said, but Isaiah, we have to go across a desert. We have to go. He said, God sends streams in the desert. He sends rivers in the desert to you as well. Oh, but we have to get across. He said, but Isaiah, there's wild animals out there. There's bears and tigers. And what animal are you afraid of? I'm glad no one said like sharks or something, because that wouldn't be sharks. Yeah. Lions or snakes or whatever. There's wild animals out there. They could kill us. And Isaiah says, as a word from God, he says, the wild animals honor me, he says. They honor me is what he brings them. He's bringing them a specific word in their specific season of don't be afraid of this journey because of anything that happened along the way. God is going to be there. God's going to make a way. God's going to send the river. God's going to protect you is what he brings to them. Family, we can look ahead, and we can as we go ahead, because he's still the same God. Amen? He's still the same God. And we can't stay stuck in the past in our lives. We can't get stuck in a place and say, well, God's already done things in my life, and that's enough. I don't want to step out in faith and follow God into something new. God's already done stuff in my life. God always has something new. Or we could say, well, things didn't go well for me last time. I had to cross the desert, and I don't know if I want to... God's going to do something new. That's the call that comes, to step out in faith and to trust them. We can't go through life then afraid to change jobs when God would lead us to do it, afraid to start a business when God would lead us to do it, afraid to serve in an area of ministry when God would lead us to do it, afraid to begin a relationship when God would lead us. What happened the last time is not an indication of what's going to happen the next time. God does new things. We're not talking about living haphazardly and foolishly. I'm talking about following the leading of God in your life, following the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life, of what happens in our life. The psalmist wrote, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. Sometimes stepping out into new things can be frightening, but we trust in him. Amen? The journey you have ahead of you and me, whatever 2020 holds, whatever our future holds, I want you to catch this again as a reminder. Yesterday is no indication of how this one is going to go. It's no indication. Don't stay stuck in yesterday's good. Don't stay stuck in yesterday's bad. Forget about it. God does new things. New things. And what he says here as well, when he says he's going to do something new, is the prophet says, that, and it's a word from God, he refers to the people. He says, you're a people who I have formed for myself. That's us. That's us as well. God made us. We're his people. We're his people. We were made for an all-loving, all-powerful, God's good pleasure. He said, the people I formed for myself. I want you to remember this in your life. God created you for his good pleasure. That's why God created you. God created you for his good pleasure. And then the promise of Romans tells us that we know that all things, and when we say for his good pleasure, what he's really saying is God created us for his glory. For his glory, the manifestation of his spirit. We were created for the glory of God is what that is. So God created you for his glory. But then, of course, Romans 8:28 tells us that we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are the called according to his purpose. That means in my life, I always know that God is going to work things together for his glory and my good. Are you with me? That's how God moves in your life. His glory, your good. Now, your good does not mean everything always goes the way I wanted it to go, because sometimes if things went the way I wanted it to go, it might end up being an absolute mess. God sees a bigger picture than I can see. But we trust and we walk by faith, knowing that God is moving in our lives for his glory and my good. That means even when craziness happens in my life and I don't understand it, I can step back and stand still and say, you know what? His glory, my good. His glory, my good. God's taking care of me. He's going to work this out. I can trust him in my life along the way. Praise God. Proverbs. Proverbs 31 is a great one. Of course, we know it describes a woman of God, but the principles in it are universal to all of us. Just as when you read in the Bible about a verse to a man and the principles are to everybody, it's the same with Proverbs 31 as well. The principles of it are both of ours along the way. Brothers, don't tune me out because I go to Proverbs 31. But I want you to catch this because I believe it's truth for all of us. It says here in Proverbs 31:25, she is speaking of the woman of God, but the person of God, if you will. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. Come on. Come on. That's a good one. That's a good one. That means when I look ahead, even to 2020, when we look ahead to the year and we say to ourselves, man, what does this year hold? What's to come along the way? We can laugh without fear of the future. We don't enter with anxiety. We don't enter in fear. We say, but this could happen. That could happen. This could happen on the world stage. This could happen with the economy. This could happen in the workplace. Laughs without fear of the future. Why? Not foolhardy, because we trust in Him. We trust in Him. Amen? Catch this as a final verse on your day. I don't have it on a slide. It's Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20, talking about giving God praise, says this. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. We're talking about God doing new things in our lives as we go forward. I want you to catch this. I can imagine a lot. I can imagine a lot. God can do more than what I can imagine. When it says God can do more than I can imagine, I think to myself, well, I can imagine an awful lot. I can imagine a lot of stuff. And that means God does even more. I can imagine sick people being healed. God does more than that. God says, I do more. I can imagine restored marriages. I can imagine backslidden children coming home to the faith. I can imagine anointing and the grace of God and forgiveness. I can imagine miracles and salvations. I can imagine homeless people housed in our community and unemployed working and miraculous provision and the windows of heaven open. Come on, can't you imagine a lot? To Him who is able to do immeasurably. You can't even measure how much more God can do than what you can think of. Think of the craziest thing you can think of, and you can't even measure how much more than God can do than that. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we trust in. That's the God who does these new things in our lives, a God who does more. I want to encourage you to believe God for great things in your life. The Bible tells us, to close with this, the Bible tells us that before any of our days came to be, it's a favorite passage of mine, before any days came to be, the psalmist writes that God wrote of our days in His book before any of them came to be. So before there ever was a James Williams, before there ever was a Hector, this is terrible that I can't remember your last name. Thank you so much, Hector Martinez. Yes, before there ever was a Hector Martinez, before there ever was any of us, God, before Hector's mama and daddy ever knew there was going to be a Hector, before anybody ever knew, God had already sat down in heaven and taken His heavenly quill and said, let me write some stuff down for Hector's life. Let me write down what's going to happen in his life. I want you to know that I'm not talking about the past. You can't go backwards. Forget about it. I'm talking about ahead. God wrote things down about your life that haven't happened yet. And nothing is going to change those things as you abide in Him. Nothing is going to thwart the will of God. God has written things down, miraculous things, supernatural things about your life. And as you abide in Him, you can't help but get to those things. That's the direction that He's taking you in. You can't get away from those things. That's the way God moves in our lives. So we go into the year and we say, yeah, but what about that back there? What about? No. You can't go back there. We're talking about going forward and believing for what is new in our lives as we follow Him and trust in Him. Let's walk in faith. Let's believe God for what's new. Let's believe God for what is more than what we could ever think of. Amen? And let's believe God's glory and our good. Come on, God's glory and our good. That's how He'll be at work in our lives. Amen. Would you stand with me? Help me out, Jonathan, if you would. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, believe God for great things this year. Believe God for great things in our church. Believe God for great things in your family. Believe God for great things in your career. Believe God for great things in your education. Believe God for great things in your ministry. Believe God for great things in your life. Whatever it is, believe God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's thank God. Let's thank God. Speak some words of thanksgiving and adoration and praise to God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God, like the Hebrew people, we're able to remember some good stuff. like the Hebrew people, we're able to remember some lousy stuff. And that's been true over the decades. But God, I think for every one of us, even in the year 2019 itself, probably all of us could remember some highs and some lows that happened in the last year. But we can't live that year again. That year is done. That year is done. So God, we're not going to dwell on the past. That was the word. That was the word that Isaiah brought to your children. Don't dwell on the past. So that's us, Lord God. We thank you for the good. We thank you for the lessons that we learned from the bad. But we're not going to dwell on the past. You're a God who does new things. And instead of walking in fear, we walk in faith as we go forward. And we believe, and I believe over your church, Lord God, for new things in 2020. New things in our lives, Lord God. Yesterday is no indication of tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. We're going forward. We forget the things that lie behind. One thing we do, we're pressing on. We're pressing on. We're saying yes to you. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Hallelujah. Do great things in our lives, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Do something new. Come on, church. Ask God to do something new in your life. Ask God to do something new in your life. Do something new this year, Lord God. Do something that you wrote about. Do something that you penned from ages ago, Lord God. Oh, you dreamed it up. It's more than we could ever imagine. But you thought of it and you wrote it, Lord God. Bring it to pass in our lives. Do something new in our marriages. Do something new with our children and in our families, Lord God. Do something new. I pray over relationships that are strained, Lord God, and with family members or friends or loved ones or even church people or wherever. Do something new in our relationships, Lord God. I pray for restoration and renewal, Lord God. Healing, Lord. Do something new. Do something new. Lord, in the name of Jesus, somebody in here, their business, their career, it's just struggling with it. It's been stagnated, Lord God. They believed you led them to this job, to start this business, whatever it is. They believed they were following your leading, Lord God. You were in it, Lord God. They're doing it. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, last year isn't an indication of this one. I pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that you make a way in the wilderness, send a river in the desert, Lord God, protect, provide, direct them in it, I pray in the name of Jesus. Do it over our ministries, our areas of service to you. Do something new through them, Lord. Every area of our lives. Every area of our lives. Be glorified. Be glorified through them, Lord God, we ask. Hallelujah. We trust in you. We trust in you. In the strong name of Jesus Christ. Come on, let's let God do it. Amen. Amen. Somebody thank God for what he's got ahead of you this year. We're believing for great things this year.